going on? This is Tokyo Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. We have the great Keith Franz on. Keith, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Living the dream. I tell you, it's been a rough few days. A lot of snow here in Chicago. My back went out when shoveling some snow. My beloved Tom Brady lost the Super Bowl. It's been a rough few days, but I'm trying to get through. And the beloved Bulls just continue to lose. I guess in some ways that should be something we should be celebrating. I think you're on the happy end of that.
No, yeah. Are you getting ready to park the bus and take out the shiny red tank, or what's going on?
Exactly. Well, the bus has been pretty much blown up. I mean, we're missing a door. The windows are all shot out. It's pretty much gone now, thanks to the Dunn injury. So I've kind of changed.
Campaign's going to be driving your bus.
Oh, exactly. I've kind of come, you know, with a new attitude, which is my attitude is, in general, conditions on the ground have changed. My friends in the military always say that. You have to adjust to the conditions, and heck, we've lost seven in a row. You know, Dunn's out. This is a full-fledged disaster, so let's go for it. We're within striking distance of your dream and mine, too, to some degree. What say you?
Oh, I say we're doing perfect. We're currently a half game out of the top five. That could change by the end of the night. If Phoenix pulls out a win versus the Lakers, I do believe Booker is out. So that could be hard. But even then, we are a game and a half out of the number one lottery spot currently.
Unbelievable. Really? Is that true? So we're... Which is the team with the worst record in the NBA
is currently Dallas. Dallas and Atlanta are tied at 17-37. There is four teams with 17 wins, three teams with 18, and one team with 19.
I wonder if there's a way we can have Lori, you know, just come up with different excuses for why he can't play, maybe keep Dunn out for another month. I mean, once those guys come back, you got to figure the Bulls are good enough to win, you know, a few more games and probably screw this up. But it's unbelievable how this is within our grasp now. And, you know, definitely not expected. Even with the injury, you know, the trade to Nico and the injury to Dunn, I didn't foresee him taking this, you know, degree of a turn southward.
I mean, I predicted 19 wins by the end of the month here, and that was before the Dunn injury, so obviously at that point my prediction was a little unrealistic because we were rolling with Dunn, and then he went down, and now we did better than I hoped for. We're 18-35.
Wow. Unbelievable, really, when you think about it. And, you know, we got the Timberwolves coming on Friday, good team. You know, who knows how the team's going to react to Jimmy coming into town, but you don't expect to win that game.
Who knows how the team's going to look?
Right.
We got under, like, 40 hours here until the trade deadline, and our team could look a whole lot different.
So do you expect another move to happen? And if so, let's say, you know, who would it be, and what would you expect in return?
I expect it has to be Rolo. I would like to be able to, you know, possibly hide him, you know, come to an agreement with him like, hey, you know, we're not going to play you that much the rest of the season, maybe 10, 15 minutes a game, but we're going to focus Felicio the majority of the way here. We're clearly not making the playoffs. We love what you bring to the team. But, you know, that's the direction we're going. If that were possible to retain him for next year, that would be fantastic. I love Rolo. I love what he brings to the team, but we also have $32 million worth of centers on the books currently. So not the greatest thing. Obviously, Ashik will come off after next year, and so would Rolo. So hopefully we get something for him. There's a lot of teams with cap problems that we could take advantage of as well. So whether we make trades or not, we could end up with another first-round pick or at least a second of some form, depending on the contract that we take on. But we have a lot of options, and we're kind of in a very good position compared to other teams with our cap to where we can do those kinds of things.
Yeah, I keep on dreaming that they're going to get a deal done with the Cavs. I mean, after the Cavs have just gone south, I mean, you can't tell me that, you know, Rolo and maybe even Holiday and even, you know, Nwaba would significantly upgrade that team defensively and at least make them a, you know, a contender again. You know, what would we get in return? I keep on saying what, you know, the Brooklyn pick may be a stretch, right? Maybe we just, out of that deal, get their late first-round pick. Who knows? But what about potentially packaging the Pelicans pick in those players for the Brooklyn pick? I mean, the Pelicans pick could not necessarily be that far away, hypothetically.
Well, right now, the thing with the Pelicans pick is they're a half game out of the lottery. And the Brooklyn pick, with all the teams jumbled up, obviously that pick could very well end up in the top five as originally projected, but it could also end up at 10. So why do you really want to give that much away? I'd rather a deal that brought the Cleveland pick in. I've been pushing Rolo, Holiday for Shumpert and Fry, as that trade would fit our cap. Shumpert has a player option for $10 million next year that he's not going to turn down. But at least him and Ashik would be coming off the books at the same time, and then we'd still have wide open cap space for the 2019-2020 summer. I'd much rather do that. I really don't see a big point in swapping the New Orleans pick with the Brooklyn pick. I'd rather have the extra pick to maybe trade up. You know, at least that way we have the option to try to trade up to 8 to 10. And if there's somebody that we like in the range of 14 to 16 and in that 20 range, you know, then you pick 3 up. But I think having more options would be better than just, you know, assuming we're going to get that Brooklyn pick.
You know, we haven't talked to you about the Nico trade. I still can't believe it. I mean, that we're actually getting we got a number one pick in exchange for him that, you know, potentially I've made the case could be, a lot depends on what the Clippers do, right? I still think the Clippers are going to be challenging for a playoff spot provided they don't trade DeAndre Jordan, you know, or if they keep the team relatively as is, who knows what's going to happen in the next few days. But in retrospect, it's just amazing to me that we're able to turn that into probably a first-round pick that'll be somewhere in the teens.
No, yes. I completely agree. A lot of people don't have much faith in the Clippers, even currently, but I think their team might be better than when they had Blake Griffin. Avery Bradley is a very good player. Tobias Harris is having a career year. He's a very good player. I think they really added depth. They have a deep team overall. Even with the injuries that they currently have.
Yeah, I agree, too. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where that pick ends up, though. I'm really looking forward to what happens in the next couple of days. I mean, Nico, they're 0-2 with him playing. Kind of what I expected. He had one decent game and one just awful game. So let's hope he continues that up. It's just so exciting, though, just to comprehend or contemplate the opportunity that is in front of us here with the potential for us. If you think about it, there is a possibility we could get the number one overall. I mean, there's a good chance that could happen. Not a great chance, but a decent chance. And a pick that could be somewhere between 10 and 15. I mean, we could get Ayton at center and find that three if it's one of the Bridges. Can you imagine coming out of a draft with those two guys?
No, I would probably. I honestly, I don't know what I'd do. I might be doing some crazy Philly fan stuff out in Rockford here if we were able to pull that off. Because, you know, at the beginning of the year, I joked around, like, you know, my dream draft would be Ayton and Knox. You know, and that was before the season started when I thought Ayton was still going to be in the three range and we might be able to trade back from the top spot and blah, blah, blah. But the fact that we got an extra first, you know, at the beginning of the year when me and you first started doing these calls, now we were talking about Nico maybe getting a first if we took massive amounts of cap back. We literally pretty much matched salaries in pay and duration given Ashik's non-guaranteed third year.
Yes. Yep.
And we got a 10 to 15 pick for it. That is unbelievable, especially considering Nico demanded a trade, wanted out. Teams were aware of our situation. And then you got the people who are upset about the 50, 50-ish second-round pick that we sent back, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah, forget it. I agree with you completely. Yeah, yeah. What a horrible loss to lose that second-round pick. You know, because you know, Draymond Green was a second-rounder. I mean, it's just unbelievable some of the arguments I see for the second-round picks. Like, I don't care about that second-round pick that we turned. We had to send it over to him in order to get the deal done. Who cares? Well,
you know, and the best thing about that to me is it came full circle. The sale of the rights to Jordan Bell's pick gave us the roster availability, and we added Pondexter with that second pick from New Orleans, which is the equity that they speak of. They built equity with the Golden State Warriors for selling them the pick. They built equity with the New Orleans Pelicans for helping their cap situation for a minimal cost of a second. And because that deal happened, it opened the door for a transaction like this. They're in need. We're in need. It took the leverage out of the situation because we had a past relationship in deals. We sent them their own pick back with Mirotić, got second-round pick swap rights in 2 or 3 years, and a first-round pick and matching salary. That is beautiful.
Yeah, I know. There's Bulls blogger, Darth blogger, all these guys out there. They're just going to reflexively look for a reason to hate on the front office. And, you know, you just got to expect that. And they're not going to think logically. They're not going to admit when these guys have done well. I mean, some of the idiocy I've read about the marketing pick, you know, like, they didn't bring him in for a workout. I think I've mentioned this on previous shows, you know, which is just the dumbest criticism of all time. They drafted Markkanen. Shut up. You know, it's like, how stupid is
more to add that today. Woj has been referencing the Bulls as a example of what Cleveland may want to do with either Kevin Love or the Brooklyn pick to trade up to target somebody in the draft. He used the Bulls as an example to say the Bulls targeted marketing and pretty much based the Butler trade around being able to get marketing. So I don't know who his source is or how much weight that has, but that completely debunks the whole they didn't work him out, they didn't interview him. That just means that they did more extensive work secretly, didn't let anybody know about it, didn't tip their hand, and they stole this guy at number 7.
Yeah, no doubt. Amen. Rodney Hood, a lot of rumors that the Bulls are in the market for the shooting guard from 6'8", 206 pounds from Duke. What's your take on Rodney Hood? He's been in the league 4 years. He's 25 years old. You know, he's shooting very good three-point shooter. He's shooting almost 40% from three, 39.7%, which is something this team sorely needs. So he does bring shooting. 86% free throw shooter. That's excellent. But, you know, defensively, not a world beater. What's your take on Rodney Hood? What do you think of Rodney Hood as a player?
Well, it was funny. I was adamantly going about why I wouldn't want to add Rodney currently, especially at the cost of a first-round pick, which is what the reports are that they're looking for. I would hate to trade the New Orleans pick for him. I would literally cry, like grown man tears, just hysterical. I would cry.
They wouldn't do that. Yeah, I hope not.
And after I did that last night, he scored 30 points on 12 of 14, shooting 4 of 4 from three-point land and stole the game for the Jazz. So that was pretty funny. That being said, the Jazz clearly don't see him as a part of their future. They don't want to pay him in the offseason. That's why they're trying to shop him to get something for his restricted free agent rights. So if he's somebody that the Bulls really like, with our cap situation, depending on what we do here in the next few days in regards to eating cap to possibly get another first, I don't see a reason to make him an offer right now. He hurts what we're trying to do. He'd improve our team currently, ruin our draft positioning potentially, you know, in his tryout trying to prove his worth, and then we shot ourselves in the foot all around. So off-season, looking into somebody like him or Barton, you know, to fill that three spot with a veteran who's actually been around the league, all for it. Right now, no. We want to focus on getting picks, getting things that help us next year or beyond, but don't, you know, hurt our positioning now.
Yeah, amen. I'm in 100% agreement with you there. I mean, I do see value in him as a player. You know, I do. This team needs three-point shooting. That's something I definitely want to see them acquire. And I'm not sure if they're going to get it through the draft or if we're going to go for a center. Obviously, you wouldn't, right? So I don't mind acquiring him, but you bring up a great point. The Bulls are in a position of strength this offseason. This is going to be one of the most bargain, you know, I think, free agent periods of all time for restricted and unrestricted free agents. And the Bulls are in a position of strength to make a deal with someone that no one can match for fear of paying a luxury tax. And, you know, Utah, you're right. If we really want them that bad, why don't we just wait till the offseason and see where we're at?
Oh, no, and exactly, worst-case scenario there, you force Utah into a horrible contract that they didn't want to pay in order not to lose him for nothing, and then you have another, you know, one of the teams around the league handicapped looking for help, and you're sitting here with all this cap space the next few years before these big 2016 contracts start expiring.
In the Cavs, we got to talk about that situation. I haven't talked to you yet, and then I'm dying to hear your opinion. You know, this situation is just, it's unbelievable to me that what is the situation between LeBron and the owner Dan Gilbert is completely toxic. Let's see, they lost today to the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic at 17-36 just beat the Cleveland Cavs, who are now 30-22. I mean, if I was Dan Gilbert right now, with the realization he's not coming back, he's not. You know, I'd almost, but LeBron's already said he's not waving his no-trade clause, I would have tried to look to trade him. But in the situation they're at, what do you think is going to happen with that team? What do you think they end up doing? Or do you think they keep on to that Brooklyn pick, or do you think it's likely they trade it?
I think they should trade it. I'm in the frame of mind where if LeBron's leaving, if LeBron's staying, this could very well be your last chance coming out of the East and making it to another championship. You know, teams go decades, half centuries without accomplishing this, and Cleveland was a product of that prior to LeBron coming back. I think you have to trade that pick. I think you have to do whatever you can to both get some of these long-term bad contracts like Shumpert off your books and increase your odds, not Shumpert, Thompson, and increase your odds for this year, and then come draft night, they can shop Kevin Love in a Jimmy Butler deal. You know, he's still an all-star that makes, I believe, $22 million a year. Mm-hmm. He'll be an asset that they can, you know, trade into the top 10 of this draft and probably get other assets for, because these contracts are getting ridiculous for, you know, veteran maxes. They're over $33 million, like Blake Griffin's making. So somebody like Kevin Love has a lot of value. I think they could make their push, do their thing this year, go round four with Golden State if they can survive through the Rockets. And then, you know, you make moves on draft night. You shop Kevin Love, and you rebuild from there.
Well, they're not coming out of the East. Right now, they're the four seed. And they're only the Bucks are they're, the Cavs are 30-22. The Bucks are 30-23. They're a half game.
That don't matter, Fred. LeBron's probably staging a coup right now, so they make a move. It doesn't matter if they go in as the eighth seed.
They don't make a move. They're not coming out of the. They're not beating the Raptors or Wizards or Celtics. They might beat the Wizards. They're not beating the Celtics or Raptors. It's just not going to happen. LeBron. There's nothing that indicates, and I know everybody says, well, this happened before. Nothing to this extent. They're the worst defensive team in the East. They're terrible.
But it's all effort, Fred. And I get what you're saying.
It's not going to be
similar to last year. This is a different situation. But they have LeBron James, who isn't playing because he doesn't care right now.
The Celtics really don't scare
me that much. The East is completely wide open right now. The Wizards and the Raptors are exactly the same as they were previously. I think the Raptors actually have the best chance out of everybody in the East currently, just because they have the experience of their core that was together, you know, going into the playoffs again. Boston's a whole new thing, filled with a whole bunch of rookies and Kyrie Irving. I think their playoff potential is similar to last year's. I don't think they're going to go very far. I mean, they're not going to make the finals. It's not going to happen.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see. I just think this is a unique situation that we're seeing right now. I mean, if they make a move, you know, that improves the team, well, you know, all will be fine. But if they go in past this trade deadline, we're not making a move. I mean, Irving is so much better than Isaiah Thomas is. It's not even in the, isn't it, right now, Isaiah Thomas as a player right now is not even, he's not even really that good. It's just an embarrassing situation. And you know, he's not going to win with these guys. So maybe you're right.
They'll make a move that'll shake it up. It may not be something with the Brooklyn pick. It might be something with their own pick that might involve us. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Rolo and Nwaba, Ailes fixes a lot that ails them. You got a defensive stopper in Nwaba, and Rolo immediately solidifies the team defensively and brings a little bit of offense, too.
Well, no, exactly. And they're both guys without egos, and that's the problem that the Cavs have right now, is everybody on that team has an ego, and they can't just put the feelings and the drama all aside and just go out and play their hearts out. And that's something that Nwaba and Rolo only know how to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch, though. I mean, this is one of the coolest trade deadlines I can think. You know, you hope something, you feel like something's going to happen, and, you know, whatever it is, I hope the Bulls get better. And I think there's a good chance it's going to happen. I'd like to get your opinion on Jimmy coming home. You know, so that's going to happen on Friday. Love to get your take on that. What was your opinion, obviously, of Jimmy Butler, why he was here, the trade, and now in retrospect, it was the right thing to do. I think you and I would both agree. But are you looking forward to him coming back?
I'm hoping we kick their ass. And I actually want to win Friday. It's the one game that has any meaning that's on national television, and we should be walking in wounded. It's kind of a win-win for me. I'd like to see him win and, you know, stand up and show some pride. I love Jimmy. Before Jimmy turned into the star that he is, and, you know, he developed and he was just a defensive guy, I went out of my way, made sure I got his autograph, told my family, watch this guy, you know, he's going to be good. And sure enough, you know, through hard work, he evolved. He did kind of evolve into a bit of a diva, and he clearly wasn't willing to work with the coach that the Bulls hired. Different timelines. I think the trade worked out great for everybody, as long as Jimmy makes it out of Minnesota with his knees.
Yeah, he'll be in L.A. in a couple of years. I mean, that's what the talk was. I was in L.A. last week. The Clippers fans aren't talking about LeBron. They don't feel it's realistic. I mean, who knows? It might be realistic. But they are definitely talking about Jimmy Butler in 2019, especially if DeAndre Jordan remains on the team, who is very close with Jimmy. So, you know, I think that's entirely possible that it happens. Jimmy Butler was a great player for us. He was fantastic to watch and won a lot of games for us, but, you know, I think the worst thing you can do about any teammate is to criticize their work ethic, and I don't even think it's true, especially when it's, you know, how do you measure how hard someone else works? If he spent all summer in L.A. and he wasn't at the United Center Advocate Center, how would you even know, you know? And that's the one thing that always, like, bothered me a little bit, and in retrospect, it gets worse every time I think about it. You don't criticize your teammate in public, especially their work ethic. It is the worst thing to do as a leader. He alienated a lot of guys in that team because of that. And, you know, he's learning. He was never the best player on his team in college and for the vast majority of his pro career until the last couple of years. So I'm sure he's doing a better job in Milwaukee. I think he is. Who knows? Clearly the team's a lot better with him, and he's a great player. But that's an unforgivable offense that you know, I think will haunt him for a long time. And he's got to play better in the playoffs this year. I thought his playoff performance last year was, for the most part, a disaster. That game three, it was the worst I've ever seen from a great player. I don't know what he was doing that day. He had some nice moments in games one and two. But overall, and obviously game six, he played pretty well. But, you know, overall, it was a disappointing end for his career in Chicago. But I wish him the best. And, you know, I kind of hope they win. I want the Bulls to get the number one pick now. And this is a game that they should most likely lose. And maybe you're right. I wouldn't mind seeing Tibbs losing.
Oh, no, like I said, it's a win-win. It's a game that I can confidently sit on my couch and root for them to win, knowing full well that they're probably going to lose. And I'll be happy with that result, too. So it's a win-win. It's a game that I get to go into where I actually have the mindset of wanting to win for a game this year because it's on national TV, and Jimmy's got it circled on his calendar. But to your point, obviously going to the public about your teammates is not a good thing. It's definitely not what you want out of your leader. But I think the biggest proponent of that is that he was underrated, that he didn't have any of it. So his only logic to understanding how these guys aren't improving or how they're not performing or how they're not doing well is simply because they're not putting in the work, you know, and he has. So in a way, I do feel he has the right to say those kind of things, just not to the media. You know, that's something you talk to your teammates about personally. Like, hey, I'm doing this. You want to come do it with me? Yeah. You go about it a different way. You don't, you know, break them down.
Keith, you always bring the goods, brother. Thanks for jumping on Chicago Bullseye. And I'm sure we'll touch base in the next few days. If there's any trades, any moves, we'll definitely get you on the horn, get your opinion on the deal. But all the best to you, brother, and we'll talk again soon.
Yep, you have a good one, Fred.
Take it easy, my man.